Right now, Lord, we need you, Father. Thank you for your amazing, powerful, powerful love that changes our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't hold anything back. You sent us heaven's best, Lord. You came and you gave your life. Said we this morning have the privilege by your Spirit to call on your name. Say Jesus, that it's not just a foreign word to us or a swear word, but it's the name of our Savior, the matchless name of Jesus. The name in which one day every knee shall bow to and confess as Lord. But for us who know you now, Lord, we have the privilege now of calling on your name. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you come and transform our lives, that you speak into our hearts this morning. None of us have come to hear any man speak. The last thing we need is a pastor's sermon. But what we desperately need is a touch from the living God. What we desperately need is one word from you that can change our lives forever. En dis hoekom ons hierso is, Here. Ons is nie so om kerk te speel nie. Ons is hierso om 'n onverdeelde aandag aan U te gee. Dat die Heilige Gees ons verander van binne en af en die massiewe verskil maak in ons lewens wat almal van ons nodig het. En ons dankie daarvoor in Jesus se naam. And all God's people said amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's good to see you again. I missed you, Diedrik. Waar's Diedrik? Ah, sê. Ek sien hom. Diedrik is iewerste hierso. Iewerste. Sien iemand wat lyk soos Diedrik? Nee, hy is nie hierso nie. But it's good to be back. I wasn't loafing. I was working in the beautiful Cape Peninsula on my bicycle. But it's good to be back. Thank you for your faithfulness and coming to church anyway. I'm so glad that you come to church. Even when I'm not here, because it's so not about me. It's about what you get from the Lord. Amen. It's my privilege this morning to pick up again where we left off and continue with our series on the world needs a father. And to recap 1-2 weeks ago, Jan spoke so graciously last week, and I thank him for that, just being willing to serve us. But before we spoke about the Great Commission, how God, if the Great Commission is uppermost in God's mind, how does he want us to fulfill the Great Commission? And one of the most significant ways of doing that is by turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And God does that by when fathers reveal the heart of God that's been shown to them to their children. And when that connection is made, it becomes possible for us to fulfill the Great Commission. This morning's message is so simple that it can be very, very easy for us to miss it. It is very, very, very challenging. And what gives me confidence and peace this morning that we can share a message like this is that God Almighty, who is love, has come and demonstrated his love in a most profound way imaginable. And he demonstrated his love not by saying, I love you, not by creating a world which says, I love you, because the scripture says the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And we can see his love expressed in everything he's made. Not by sending you prophets, not by sending you visions and angels and dreams, not by giving you writing on the wall. I'm showing you my love by letting my son come and die for you. And folks, this morning, before we get any further into speaking about anything about hearts of the fathers, we need to understand this. Wherever you are at in your life now, I want to say this to you. And I'm not the kind of pastor that just preaches a feel-good message all the time. How many of you know, if you've been in this church for a while, you get challenged. God wraps us on our knuckles. The message is not just about sending you home feeling all good, but it's about if there's a time and a place in your life where you need correction, loving edification, and chastisement from the Father, you're going to get it as well. But I've got to say this, to be able to understand and grasp what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes, understand, my brother, my sister, that you are loved by God beyond description. Nobody can describe to you. No preacher can give a sermon that can tell you just how much you are loved. God himself can't tell you how much he loves you. You say, what? He can't tell you. He came and he showed you just how much he loved you, because you can't describe that kind of love. The fact that Jesus came, and I was thinking about this as the weather's getting a little bit chillier, It's one thing to wake up in the morning and you're used to a certain season and you go out and all of a sudden you experience cold and wind and rain that you weren't preparing for. You go out and it's like, phew, I didn't expect this. Or you go on a journey somewhere and you don't take a jacket with. But it's another thing to leave a place that's comfortable and perfect, so to speak, for you, knowing that out there is disaster. And Jesus done that. It's not like he came here to earth and was surprised that his brothers and sisters would leave him. It's not like he came here and he was surprised that Peter would deny him. And that the very oaks that said to him, Yes, my brah, ek gaan altyd by jou wees, toe hy omkyk. En wanneer hy nodig gehad het op sy grootste uur, was hulle nie daar nie. It didn't take him by surprise. He left heaven anyway, came, and he knew from the beginning that he's going to be abused at the hand of mankind. And he done it anyway. So before we even get any further, grasp this, my brother, my sister, that you are loved. You've got to be able to receive it, believe it, understand it this way first before you can even begin to give it this way. Understand, know that you are accepted in the Beloved. If you're feeling a sense of rejection, yeah, maybe you haven't thought about it for a while. You say, I'm not good enough because of this. I was born on the wrong side of the railway tracks, or I was born in a place where I was born, the railway tracks were already stolen. Whatever your upbringing. Whatever the devil wants to accuse you of and tell you you're not good enough, I want to tell you, the Bible says in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians that you are accepted in the Beloved. Jesus Christ is God's beloved Son, and in Him, all of us are accepted this morning. Is that okay? So the challenge this morning is, as we get into the gist of this message, and it's such a simple message that we can't miss it, to the married men here this morning, and to the men and to the youngsters who have girlfriends in their lives, or somebody special, you just warm for each other's form. And there's just something there. I want to ask you this morning, do you love your spouse? Do you love your boyfriend, your girlfriend, that special person? Most of you are thinking, yeah, Mozzie, ek meen hierdie boktrolletjie vir my, sy is daar my oulik hoor. You think you love that person. Okay, I want to submit to you this morning that what I'm going to share with you is going to challenge you to the core of that understanding that you love this person. Because it just might be that you don't love this person according to the standard that is set in God's Word. You might think, yeah, well, Mozzie, I'm not willing to die. I mean, Jesus has died. He's paid the price for us all. I'm not willing to die for this person. I'm not talking about that. And we're busy with a series called The World Needs a Father. And one of the most effective ways that a father can demonstrate love to his children is by honoring their mother. Did you get that, gentlemen? One of the most effective ways that a father is able to prove and show his children love, the love of the father, is by honoring their mother. That's how I do it. So men, this is for you this morning. Are you ready, men? Come on, men. I want to hear all of you. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready to be challenged this morning? So what does it mean to honor your wife? Well, there's ways in which we can do it very, very publicly. It's easy for me, a shy, withdrawn, quiet person like I am, when I get a microphone, to comment and say something about Colette when she's sitting on the front row here. You know? But honoring my wife, the purest essence of that is determined by what goes on in my heart and my mind when she ticks me off royally. What goes on in my mind where I'm so frustrated with her, I'm like spitting mad like a cobra. What goes on in my mind then? Am I honoring my wife then? Because I can tell you this much. You can hear this morning that my voice is a little bit funny. Nah. Okay? My voice isn't breaking. Okay? So if I stand here this morning and for argument's sake, thank God I don't, but I've got mumps. That it's actually mumps in my body. And ek staan hier so en ek preek marsels, measles. What are you going to catch? If I've got mumps, but I preach measles, what are you going to catch? Exactly. So, van die buitelike perspektief af, kan ek hier staan and I can wax the praises lyrical over Colette. But if I'm not honoring her in my heart and in my mind, guess what my children are going to pick up? Exactly. So the challenge is, men, if we're speaking about the hearts of the fathers, we want to show the love of God to your children, honor your wife. It's a challenge to men. The call is to men. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Men, have you felt that sometimes your prayers are not being answered? Anybody out there? Okay. Whew, I was getting relieved. I thought, Mozzie, you must go see these oaks because all their prayers are answered. Consider this verse. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, if you're a husband, say, that's me. Husbands. Husbands. Likewise, dwell with them with understanding. There's proof positive that God's got a sense of humor. He wants men to live with women with understanding. I mean, what a joke. What? That's funny. I don't care who you are, that's funny. How do you understand women? There's times where they don't understand themselves. Now, we got to understand them. Guys, I don't have the answer. All I know is that God has commanded it. And somehow, in His wisdom, and through the ability of His Spirit, He will enable us to understand these fascinating creatures called women. He'll enable us to understand them. He says, yeah, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. It does not say inferior, gentlemen. I think sometimes in the body of Christ there's an imbalance in the teaching. They teach women submit, 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 and we stop there. The whole of Scripture teaches us that there must be mutual submission to each other as a son and daughter of the Most High God. Big, big difference, gentlemen. It's not that the vrou moet onderdanig wees, onderdanig. So the wife must submit to the lead of the husband. The husband submit to the need of the wife. The husband has a need to be respected and honored. The wife has a need to be loved. Dwell with him with understanding and honor the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So if you think that there's prayers in your life that are not being answered, ask yourself, am I honoring my wife? Am I dwelling with her with understanding? Am I showing my children that I love their mother by honoring them? Because if those things aren't in place in your life, gentlemen, your prayers will not be answered. Don't crucify the messenger. I'm saying it the way God's word says it. Your prayers will be hindered if you do not do these things. So the word honor here means to esteem to the highest degree for the dignity that is in the wife herself. Not for what she does or doesn't do. Did you get that? So you don't just honor your wife when she does everything right. The food is incredible. She always is dressed to the nines. She's got all her war paint on and the oil of delay. And it's just, it's all, you know. You know, she says the right thing at the right time. And, you know, it's not then. No, you honor her when she's at her worst also. Simply because she's a daughter of the Most High God. Gentlemen, he's just getting a little bit real now. It's real, isn't it? These are the challenges we've had. That's how you honor your wife. This is the key in learning how to love the scriptural way. So let's challenge ourselves with this thought. I started off this part of the sermon by saying and asking, do you love your wife? Let's just see the kind of love that we have. This describes how most of us love. The way we love. Right? I expect you to make me happy and give me security or significance. So I've got to say things to you to make you feel that you're significant. I expect you to make me happy, you know. I love him because he just makes me happy, Pastor Mozzie. Okay, in the day that he's not making you happy, you want to come and ask me where you can buy a 9mm. That's how most of it, you know, I love you because this is what I get from you. What you bring to the table is cool. You know? My dreams and ideals are centered around you. I married you because the two of us together, we're going to build this life together. We're going to be successful in our family. We're going to raise these wonderful brats. I mean, beautiful kids. We're going to be successful in business, whatever. And when that starts not to happen, suddenly then that role that person was supposed to play is like what's happening here? So the pieces of your dream collage start getting broken down little bit by little bit. My dreams and ideals are centered around you. The two of us together, we're going to make it. I mean, they're going to write Mills and Boone's novels about us. And then the real life happens. So here, this is how most of us love. I give you the power to make me happy or miserable, you know. So, like, I come home from work and you must have the best smile. After my heavy, hard day at graft, you must have the best smile. While I'm still getting out the car in the garage or whatever, I must already smell the food. What's cooked and ready, I must already smell that. The house all clean, the kids behaved, everyone done their homework. All those things must be in place first. I give you the power to make me happy or miserable. So that when you don't do these things, well, then I am entitled to be miff. I can inflate my lips to 30 bar because you haven't done what I have expected from you. This is how most of us love. Don't put up your hands now, but this is real. Okay. I expect you to live up to my idea or an idol of what a husband or wife should be. My idea. It's a dangerous place to be. And last but by no means least, because I treat you well, you should give me what I expect. That's how most of us love. What are the dangers of this kind of love? This becomes idolatry. So, Mozzie, that's like a heavy, harsh word to use. Well, idolatry is not necessarily when I worship some little statue that's made by man or something. Idolatry is this. Listen to how quickly any of us here this morning can fall into this trap. Idolatry is simply this. When you have any idea or opinion within yourself that places it above what God has said in His Word over you or other people. In other words, I have an idea, even of myself, that I place above what God has said of me. If I continuously convince myself and tell myself I'm not good enough, I'm a royal jerk, when God says no, you are worthy to me, you are worth dying for me. And I continuously place my opinion above that. It's idolatry. You set up an idol in your heart. And these things that we listed here about the ways in which we love can become idolatry. How does that happen? So when I look to you to supply the things that only God can supply, happiness and fulfillment. Folks, no matter how awesome your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, or your girlfriend is, they can only do so much. Only Jesus Christ, through the working of His Holy Spirit in your life, can satisfy you in the way that you were created to be satisfied. No person can do that for you. No matter how wonderful your Prince Charming or your drop-dead gorgeous Sticky is, there's only so much that they can do. Only Jesus can fulfill like that. We must understand that. So when we look to each other to supply things that only God can supply, becomes idolatry. Another way is where that person becomes the center of your attention and your orientation. The center of your attention and your orientation. You orientate your life all around them instead of Jesus. God is a jealous God. He's fiercely jealous. Church, not because He's childish, but God knows what the consequences are going to be if our attentions and our devotions are fixed on things or people. He knows we're going to be bitterly disappointed in the end. That's why He's jealous. He's not jealous because He's this facetious somebody upstairs that needs all the fuss and all the glory and all the honor. No, He's jealous because He knows that if there's anything or anyone else in our lives that has the devotion of our hearts, that is going to bitterly, bitterly disappoint us in the end. So when our lives are oriented around somebody else, it can become idolatry. Another way is I manipulate or control you to become the idol that's in my mind. I have this idea that you're supposed to do A, B, C, check all the list, check, check, check. And then when you don't, I like to say, yeah, just, I wonder what it would be like if you only did. Or can you imagine what it would be like? You know, or, you know, how was that, love? No, it's okay, but. You know, sometimes there's a but that's necessary, you know, but not all the time. But I'm just saying. You get what I'm saying here. When I manipulate you to try and live up to what the image that I have of you in my mind, how you should be. And then where you and my desires become the center of my dreams and expectations. These are the problems that there can be. All right. These factors have the following effect. Idolatry and not love become the motive for the marriage. Idolatry. Remember, please, moet julle nie blind staar by die woord idolatry nie. Remember, it's a thought or idea that you hold above something else that God has spoken. The idolizer becomes the slave of the idol. A person worships an idol expecting a benefit from the idol. We end up having a trail of idol relationships in our lives. Broken relationship after broken relationship after broken relationship. Because we come in with these ungodly, unrealistic expectations. The person doesn't live up to it, and we write the person off. Then we go and find the next person. I have these expectations, and they live up to some of them, and we think, this is it. This is the one that moet wees, want oma het so gesê. And then you gaan aan, and the person lets you down. That relationship is broken. And so we go on and on and on and on. These are the dangers and the traps of this kind of thing. Is anybody learning anything this morning, church? Okay. We may even love God incorrectly like this. In other words, loving God only because we expect something from Him. Years ago, God challenged me in these two areas, and I'm going to be very, very real. I was a detective in those days, and we deal with obviously all sorts of cases, murders, stuff like that, and rape cases. And one day, I was growing in the Lord like I am now. I hope I should still be growing in the Lord. And the Lord asked me this question. And how many of you know that God doesn't ask a question because He doesn't know the answer? He asks a question because He wants you to ask yourself that question. And I was dealing with a rape case that was very, very bitter. And God asked me, son, would you still love me and honor me and worship me the way you do and testify of me all the time if this happened to your wife? Whew. I battled with that. I battled with that. You see, do you love God only based on what you expect from Him? So met ander woorde, wanneer God nie meer Kersfees Vader speel nie, or when you go to that 24-hour emergency chemist and it's closed, like you press the God button and He doesn't bring the magic, does your loyalty and devotion towards Him then change? He challenged me with that. And then the other thing was this. Would I still live for Jesus? Would I still tell people about Jesus every opportunity I get? Would I still give Him thanks and praise? Would I still honor Him financially? All these things. If I knew He was never, ever going to answer another one of my prayers again. Wow. Folks, just think about that for a minute. Think about that. Is our devotion towards God just based on, God, you're going to do the impossible. So when I need the miracle, or is what Jesus has already done, is that enough for you? It must be the latter case. We must love God because of the completed work of the cross. We must love God because of the promises that have not yet come to pass. We must love God because of the expectation of a beautiful future, better than we've ever experienced before. We must love God for who He is, not only for what He can do. All right. If these factors are present, then misery, anger, and frustration will be the result of unfulfilled expectations. So that's a brief look at how we love. Let's look, as we start to close, how God expects us to love. That is why I started this morning's sermon by saying, before I can even try and love this way, I have to understand God's love this way. Remember the book of Romans in the 5th chapter says that God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Think about that, Adrian. I didn't have to first clean up my act. I didn't have to first get my life right before God, before Jesus decided, okay, I'm now willing to die for that mukhu because he's trying. No. He died anyway. He died anyway. And this is how God loves, unconditionally. And that requires change as well. Okay, and unconditional love, folks, does not mean for 1 second that we can just continuously, it's like the people that try and get us in debt. Nah, man, just buy now and pay later. Don't worry, just go ahead, get it with all of this interest. Just get it now, because we want instant gratification. Just get it now, buy it now, pay later. Unconditional love is not like that. I'll sin now and I'll repent later. No. Unconditional love doesn't mean that ons kan voortvoeter in die lewe en maak soos wat ons maak wanneer ons wil, whenever we want to. That's not unconditional love. Conditional love and unconditional love. Unconditional love is that God just gives you an opportunity to enjoy the grace that He's given you that also demands change. So the God way of loving is this. Now when you go through these notes, if you're in the care group, you might look at it and say, but Mozzie, that's not correct, but just bear with me. But wait, there's more. The God kind of love is one-sided, irrespective of return. You see, Jesus was given no guarantees when he decided to lay down his life. He was given no guarantees. God didn't say to him, you know, lay down your life now, and then I'll assure you that there's going to at least be a handful of people on a Sunday morning on the, what's the date today? The 16th of March, 2025, in a little fellowship called Real Life Ministries in a place called Three Rivers. There's going to be those group of people that are going to be devoted to you. No, Jesus had no guarantees. Came and he laid down his life anyway. Hallelujah. So it's one-sided, irrespective of the return. That's the God kind of love. The way in which God loves is no expectation or manipulation. How many of you know that God will not force himself upon anybody? That's one of the mysteries of this thing called Christianity. People say, when we're involved in the motorcycle industry, they talk about the fact that as a member of CMA that wears the patch, that goes and ministers among bikers, they say, well, you guys are not allowed to drink and you're not allowed to smoke. No, we're allowed to. We just choose not to. We just choose not to for the sake of the ones we're trying to reach with the love of Jesus. And it's near Yemel of Al Sakni, you know. Okay, you'll still make it to heaven. If you're a heavy smoker, you'll skip out. It might smell like you've been in hell, but you'll make, okay. So actually, you moet full heart met die gewoonte nie, because you're messing up your health, etc., which is a gift from God. But moving along, there's no expectations. God's not going to force himself upon you and make you do something. One of the mysteries of Christianity, it's a free choice. It's a free choice. We as Christians, according to the New covenant of grace, we can do whatever we want to. Hallelujah. Some of you are looking and think, yes, Mozzie, you should have told me this a long time ago. I'm going to let rip when I leave church this morning, China. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, all things are lawful for me. All things are lawful because Jesus has paid the price for all of my sins. I can do whatever I want. But it says not all things are helpful. That's the difference. So in terms of grace, you can do whatever you want to, but not all things are going to be helpful. And this God kind of love has no expectation or manipulation. Another aspect on this God kind of love is that God keeps on forgiving. Now this is a challenging thing. You say, well, Mozzie, how many times must I forgive? Well, the expression in the Bible is 70 times 7. That doesn't mean 490 times, because some of us we've overspent that at account long time ago. The 490 has gone long time ago. It's an expression that means as many times as there's genuine repentance. That's what it means. So one of the hallmarks of the kingdom of God is balance. You say, so was he? Must I forgive them? They can just mark terug. And apologize. Maak terug and apologize. Maak terug wetende dat hulle gaan verskoning vra. That's not true, people. It's not. Matthew 3:8, Luke 3:8, and Acts 26:20 says there must be fruits befitting repentance. In other words, show by your actions that you've repented. That's when there's unconditional forgiveness, Diane. When there's true repentance. I can't just say, I'm going to stuff up again. I'm just going to say sorry. But in your heart, you know. You have no interest in changing. You have no interest in repenting. You're just going to use this Christian cop-out and say, God is gracious, God is love, He understands, forgive me, Lord, and on futter jy voort, onveranderd. God sees the motives of our heart. Remember that. Forgive, unconditional, forgive. When there's fruit befitting repentance, there must be fruit. That's what the scripture says. Matthew 3:8, Luke 3:8, Acts 26:20, and also Luke 17 speaks of that. The first few verses in Luke 17 speaks of when there's fruit, they say, okay, this person's truly repented. Change isn't change until there's. Who said that? There you go. Yeah, I should marry her. Change isn't change until there's change. That's how you know you've repented. Otherwise, you've just said sorry. You know, there's no repentance or remorse in your heart. You're just sorry that you've been caught out. Come on, guys. Let's be real. You're just sorry you've been caught out. You know? All right. God keeps on forgiving. And God loves self-sacrificially. Gentlemen, this is the high call of God on our lives. It costs us. It's going to cost you to show your children that you love them by honoring your wife. It's going to cost you. It's not going to be some, oh, look, a sermon on a Sunday, a little laugh here or there, a joke in the priak, and go home and live it out. It's going to take the anointing of God on our lives to be able to do this. I'm telling you, gentlemen. Love is also knowing that this unconditional love, although we are useless in our sin, God loves us. I mean, what can I bring to the, what can I give God? All we have is from Him anyway. What can I give to God but rebellion, disobedience, unbelief, stubbornness? That's all I can give. And He loves us like that. You know, if you are somebody that's creative and you like making things with your hands, who likes making stuff with their hands? Yeah, anybody. Ek praat nie van nonsense, jy maak droog. You like making it. So I don't know whatever it is that you make. You select certain materials to make that thing, isn't it? You select, there's a reason why you choose those materials. I don't know about you, but if I was God, I would have chosen angel's breath or universe glitter or, I don't know, unobtainium or something special and rare to make something. You know what God does? God says, no. I'm going to make them out of the dirt that people walk on. I'm going to make them out of the dirt that people walk on. I'm going to take a handful of dirt. I'm going to breathe life into it. And I'm going to show the world what I can do with mess. I'm going to show the world what I can do with dirt. My brother, my sister, I don't know where you think you are at in your life this morning. All we are is a handful of dirt that God has graciously breathed His life into. And it's marvelous in His sight. He wouldn't have it any other way. I said He wouldn't have it any other way. He wouldn't have it any other way. He's made us in His image. And He chose to make us from dirt. Hallelujah. That's the God of love that we live for. God loves and gives from the inside out, not because of what He gets from us. This kind of love has the following effect, and we're going to start to finish now. We really are. We won't have any selfish or unrealistic expectations. We won't try and manipulate or control the other person to get something. We'll keep on forgiving. We'll break down any idols or any false expectations that we have. The value of the person will not be determined by what we can get out or from them. Think about that. The value of the person will not be determined by what we can get out or from them. You value them just because they're made in the image of God. And the person is valuable to you because you have simply been given an opportunity to love. Think about that. You got an opportunity to love somebody. And the more useless they are, the more valuable they become. Husbands, the challenge is from Jesus to us is love your wives like Christ loved the church. So for folks that are married now, maybe 5 days, I don't know, wedding celebration yesterday, 5 years, 5 decades, some folks. Or maybe you're thinking about getting married. Marriage is designed to kill you. Matthew, did you get that, my boy? Marriage is designed to kill you. So my encouragement is stay away from marriage. Marriage is designed to kill you. Say, yeah, Mozzie, how do you know? Well, because Jesus said, the scripture says, love your wives. The book of Ephesians says, sorry. Love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for he laid down his life for the church. Sure. Well, that's a scriptural requirement. Marriage is designed to kill you. In a godly marriage, we're called to lay down our lives for our spouses, our spouses. Even though your spouse is spicy. Yeah. You lay down your life for your spouse that is spicy. Gentlemen, now, and this is the last thought and then we're done. This is how we know whether we honor our wives. I can honor my wife publicly, like I said. I can say, oh, look, a thing to score brownie points. And hopefully I get some rewards. Okay? Or I can honor my wife in the recesses of my heart. How does that happen? So let's say you're with the boys. It's a work function. It's like it's a hard week and having like a Friday braai at the factory or at the shop or whatever. And the guys start making jokes and they talk about the old ball and chain or the witch where she parked her broom, you know. Okay, what kind of thoughts does it evoke in your heart then? Yeah. It's my liver exes, buddy ice. That's how you honor your spouse, gentlemen. Honor your spouse. The men are laughing because it's real. It's real. Aren't you glad you came to Real Life Ministries this morning? It's real. That's how we honor our wives. Because I can say, I can choose all the sweet words and everything like that. But if in my heart I'm not honoring my spouse, guess what my children are going to pick up. And gentlemen, if we're going to be obedient to the call of God on our lives, to love our children, show our children the heart of God, one of the best ways we can do that is by honoring our wives. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And folks, I'm done preaching. All I want to say is this though, that we can't experience that love between people like this, the special person in your life, unless you first experienced it this way. Receive God's unconditional love for yourself. Respond to Him with unconditional love. And if you're at a place in your life this morning, I'd love to pray with you. Ask you for yourself, then, would he mozzy die? Thy lift is verhouding, where is thy bikkie stik in daar so? Daar's a paar syne wat nou nie gevang word van weeskante af nie. Ons gel nie lekker met mekaar nie, as ek het so kan stel. I want to pray for you this morning. If the devil has been accusing you and telling you you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you're not going to make it because of whatever, you know what? He's right. You are not worthy. You are not good enough. But because of Jesus, you're accepted in the Beloved. Did you get that? Because of Jesus, you're accepted in the Beloved. And if you're at a place in this morning where the devil's been accusing you and stuff like that, and you're just beaten up by his lies, I want to pray with you this morning. Father, I pray for myself and my brothers and sisters this morning as we just gather around your word for a few minutes and just celebrate who you are. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, for your unfailing love. Thank you for your grace. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. The only response I could give is to say thank you and in obedience live for you. So right now, where I'm seated this morning, I receive your love for me. Jesus, you're God's son. You died. You rose again. Your blood was shed to wash me clean. And you're preparing a place for me to be with you and the Father forever. But for the here and for the now, in the difficulty and the challenge and the mess of life, Lord, we need your grace. We need your wisdom. We need your power. We need your understanding. And if you're a husband this morning, you pray with me, sir, in your heart, a grandfather. Or maybe you have no biological kids of your own, but you know there's children that look up to you as a father figure. I want to pray with you this morning and say, Father God, I too am a father. Lord, I want to be a father that's like you. I want to love the way you love, God. Lord, give me a fresh new revelation and understanding of what it means to have the love of a father. Father God that loves me. And then help me, Lord, for not if, but when I fail, to quickly apologize, to quickly say sorry, and to learn from my mistakes. Help me to be a father that fears God above all else. That means I honor and I respect you, God, above all else. I don't do anything unless I know it meets your approval. Help me to be such a father. And then, Lord, forgive me of the times where I've not honored my wife. Forgive me, Lord God, of having a relationship of expectancy, where if you do this, then I'll do that. If you give this, then I'll give that. But I want to learn to live and love unconditionally like Jesus did. Help me, Lord, to be a man that shows the world the father heart of God and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. These things we ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you for listening, folks. As the sound engineers, just to prepare one more song for us to close off with, just to celebrate the goodness of God, just a reminder, please join us upstairs if you've got some time to come and support the folks that are going to be baptized this morning. Some practical arrangements. There are two bathrooms downstairs which you can use to change into your baptismal shorts and t-shirts or whatever. There's also two bathrooms upstairs. There's one in my office. There's one in Madeleine's office that you can use to change, get into your baptismal clothes, and then join us upstairs to support them there. Thank you for making the time to come and to listen this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a Jesus-filled week. Do it to them before they do it to you, and show random acts of kindness. God bless you. Let's worship the Lord together one more time. I'll meet the baptismal candidates upstairs. Thank you very much. Covered by